Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to everyone with us. Come on, everyone get in, pull up a chair, and let's get started here. Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne in heaven with all honor and praise and glory to you as the King of the universe. And Father, we thank you so much for your love and your kindness in our life. We thank you for all the blessings that you share with us. We thank you, Father, for getting us through another week. And Father, we pray for your kingdom to come to this earth as is in heaven. We pray for those who suffer in the world, Father, particularly those, our brothers and sisters of the household of faith. And Father, we just pray for the days ahead and that you would help to transform our hearts and minds into becoming like you, what you're doing. We thank you so much, Father, for creating us, never forsaking us. And most of all, we thank you for the great sacrifice, sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty, so I'm not going to go over a lot of world news because we have a lot to go over in the rest of this chapter here, but I'll just mention some of these articles. I did send out the world news update today, so some of you may even have this in your hand as you're listening. But there's just a couple of articles here that are kind of interesting. And one says, ready for a triple-demic. The CDC prepares for a winter of three bugs out there. And we're hearing a lot of chatter that come this winter, there's another, you know, COVID-style thing that is being planned out there. So who knows? We will see when it comes. But this article is kind of interesting, talking about this new RSV, disease, respiratory disease, and shots that are coming. So we will see, but something to keep your eyes out for later in this year, especially with the FedNow program in effect. You know, and we'll see how that moves along with the digital currency and all these other things that are moving. It may not seem like they're moving fast, but they actually really are. It's just we don't see the result of it right now. Here's another article that I found very interesting, because this is something that I've known about for years and many people ask me about it. Jewish leaders in Israel needed a red heifer for a temple ceremony, so a Texan sent five. Well, they always do everything bigger in Texas, right? So, and this is the story about Byron Stinson, who found these, you know, they've been looking for these red heifers for the temple ceremony, and he found five of them. They can't have more than five white hairs, or they're considered unclean by the rabbis, and he found five of them. And interesting, though, because a lot of times I don't think people realize that the rabbis are not really on the up and up in Israel. And it talks about him sending these five heifers to Israel, and it costs like $500,000. And you say, how on earth can it cost $500,000 to send five cows to Israel? And it says, well, when you consider the fact that all the rabbis had to get first-class plane tickets to come to Texas and check the heifers out on American Airlines. So those plane tickets were pretty hefty, I guess, beside all the other things that went into it. And they said they're planning on doing this ceremony for Passover 2024. Well, talk about another abomination of desolation, right? You know? And again, all these things that are going on here and these sacrifices and the things they're doing. And I know that Christians don't understand, and of course we want to support Israel. I've done it my whole life. I believe what Yahweh is doing in the end time and bringing them as a nation again. But we should not be supporting the religious activity that the rabbis are doing that is in clear violation of our faith in Yeshua. You know, especially animal sacrifices that we know are no longer binding. So you could read the article yourself. I won't say any more. Then it said the Fed now endgame, total control versus digital dollar and the ESG. You know, so you could read that. I'm not going to get into this now, but it talks about the FedNow program and the ESG, the big thing they've been talking about, and it all has to do with a social credit score And again, I mean, right now there's a credit score that everybody has, and that will decide if you get a mortgage on your house or how much interest you're going to pay. But this is a social credit score that will depend on everything. Everything from jaywalking to a post that you could put up on Yahoo or social media, to something you could say at work, you know. So you will basically have your hands tied in Satan's system, and it's not a good thing. Here's another one. Heart injuries from COVID vaccine are 3,000 times higher than the CDC admits, the study finds. So we are seeing more and more of these young athletes that are just going into cardiac arrest. The latest one was LeBron James's son, who recently, in the last week also, just went into cardiac arrest. And, you know, if they didn't have medical staff there, he'd be dead right now. And some of them do die. But their lives are changed forever, usually, when this happens. But 3,000% higher than they're admitting on this. And you could read that. And the last article, just very quickly here, is rice rationing begins in America after India bans exports. 20-pound bags of rice went from $16 to almost $50. And this is just from yesterday. It's like, wow. So the wheat, you know, we talked about that, the deal that they had with Putin to allow the wheat from Ukraine to leave there had stopped. They stopped the deal last week. So here we go again. You know, last year it looked like there was going to be inflation was going up really, really high. And, a lot of the stuff that was happening with food, and it looked like this year could have been a really, really bad, bad year. And it actually, even though inflation is high and food prices are up, it was not nearly as bad as what it could have been. So let's see what happens now later this year and next year, you know, because we're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, but at least it seems to have stabilized somewhat. Praise Yahweh for the Shemitah for us, because that helped us to, and when I say us, I mean the people of Yahweh, that we already had our food bought already before most of that inflation went up there. So praise Yahweh for that. So that is all the world news I'm going to get into now, because I want to get into it. It's a long chapter here. I'm hoping we're going to finish it today, but whatever Yahweh's will is, I'm not going to rush. We'll just go through it, because there's a lot of stuff here. So we'll see. We are in Ezekiel 20. We left at verse 24. Because they had not done my judgments and had despised my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. So that was pretty much almost the whole first half of chapter 20 was Yahweh rebuking Israel for what they did, and how, you know, verse 23, I lifted my hand to them in the wilderness to scatter them among the nations and sow them among the lands. And over and over and over again, we see that these people just didn't listen. And as I was saying last week, you know, as you get more of the mind of Yahweh and we're going more toward the end and we see things happening, and you really think about this, because, you know, I understand with Christians, a lot of them, most Christians are actually decent people. I think their hearts are right for the most part. They just have wrong teachings and wrong doctrines. And they don't know any better. They've never been taught the right way. And they've never seen Yahweh face to face. They've never been there. But here it is that Yahweh personally picks out the land of Israel. He personally brings them out of Egypt, does the miracles, appears to Moses, the fire, you know, burning on Mount Sinai that they see. So this is why, like we said, they will not enter his rest, that they literally lost out on the kingdom, because seeing Yahweh firsthand and seeing all the things he did, and they still didn't follow his way, didn't believe in his Torah, didn't keep the Sabbath days, you know, and were just filled with pride, you know, and like he said, stiff-necked people. So that was pretty much everything we were going over. And now, verse 25, he says, therefore I also gave them statutes that were not good, and judgments by which they could not live. And I've had people show me this before and say, you see, the Torah isn't good. The Torah, he gave them bad statutes. And it's like, well, no. All over the Torah, it says that the Torah is holy and just and good, and the Torah is perfect. So why is he saying here that I gave them statutes that are not good and judgments by which they could not live? Well, what he's saying is basically the Torah is only good if you obey it. The Torah is only good if you obey it. If you're not obeying it, then it, of course it's not good. You know, like let's look at Deuteronomy 27:26. Deuteronomy 27:26. Because you reap what you sow. Deuteronomy 27:26 says, cursed is he who does not carry out all the words of the Torah to do them, and all the people shall say amen. And you know, during the Shemitah year, we read the Torah. And when we were reading the Torah, I think it was the last Shemitah, and I was reading the scripture. You know, I was going over Deuteronomy 27, and before verse 26, it has all these things. Cursed is the man who lies with an animal. They say, amen. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor. Cursed is he who takes a bribe. And then I said this one. Cursed is he who does not carry out to do all the words of the Torah and do them. And all the people say, amen. And everyone said, amen, you know. And I said, no, you just cursed yourself. Don't say amen to that. Because we can't keep all the words of the Torah. We're human beings. We make mistakes. But that's the reason why Yeshua came to make up where we couldn't. You know, he actually came to finish off what we couldn't do. But if you are going to be disobedient and obstinate to the Torah, then yeah, it's not going to be good. The statutes aren't good because every one of those statutes is it's cause and effect. And if you're keeping them, there's blessings. And if you're not keeping them, they're cursings. So of course, if you're not keeping them, they are not going to be good for you. Verse 13 of Ezekiel 20, which we read last week. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man does, he will even live by them, right? And they greatly profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. If a man does them, he will live by them, right? That if you do them, you're going to live by them. If you break them, they'll break you. And that's the way it is. Let's go to Romans 7 in verse 5. Romans 7 in verse 5. It says, for when we were in the flesh, the passions of sin were working in our members through the Torah for the bearing of fruit unto death. But now we have been set free from the penalty of the Torah, having died to that in which we were held, so as for us to serve in newness of spirits and not in oldness of letter, right? It's a change of the heart. What then shall we say? Is the instruction sin? Let it not be. But I did not know sin except through the Torah. For also I did not know lust, except the Torah said, you shall not lust. But sin, taking occasion through the commandment, worked every lust in me. For apart from law, sin is dead. And I was alive apart from the Torah once, but the commandment came and sin came alive and I died, right? Why did he die? Because he saw that he was a sinner, right? He saw that there was penalties to pay for what he did. And the commandment which was to life, this was found to be death to me. For sin, taking occasion through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So indeed, the Torah is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Did that which is good therefore become death to me? Far be it. But sin, that it might be seen to be sin, perfected death in me by means of that good Torah, that sin might be more condemned by means of the commandment. Right? So he's saying that, you know, even if you don't know it, it's still going to slay you if you're breaking it. And that's what that verse 25 is talking about. In verse 26, back to Ezekiel 20. And I defiled them by their own gifts, by making all that opened the womb to cross the fire, so that I might waste them to the end, that they might know that I am Yahweh. So, Yahweh is saying again, you know, he allowed them to be defiled by what they were doing. They were literally, some of them were literally sacrificing their children, burning their children to these false deities, right? Ezekiel 20 and verse 31. For when you lift up your gifts, when you pass your sons through the fire, you defile yourself with all your idols even to this day. And I will not be inquired of by you, O house of Israel. As I live, declares Adonai Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. So this is what Yahweh is saying. You know, he allowed them to be defiled by their gifts because what they were doing, you know, they were literally sacrificing their children in the fire to false deities, and Yahweh was allowing them to choose their adulterous ways. And the ironic part is, the firstborn was supposed to be dedicated to Yahweh, not burned in a fire to some false deity. Exodus 13 and verse 12. It says, you shall set apart to Yahweh everyone opening the womb, and every firstling, the offspring of animals, which are yours. The males belong to Yahweh. Okay? And we know if you drop down to verse 15, and it happened when Pharaoh hardened himself against sending us away, Yahweh killed every firstborn. Excuse me. In the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of men even to the firstborn of animals. On account of this, I sacrifice to Yahweh every one of the males opening the womb, and I redeem every firstborn of my sons. And it shall be a sign, you know. So we see here that that's what was supposed to be happening. The firstborn was supposed to be redeemed to Yahweh, and instead of actually redeeming the firstborn and dedicating them to Yahweh for the service in their life and blessing them with that, they were literally sacrificing and killing their children in the fire. But yet today, what do we have? You have millions of murdering of children, abortion that goes on every year. You know, 20 million or more around the world every single year. So, wow, it's not much has changed. You know, when you look, just in a different way. Verse 27. So speak to the house of Israel, son of man, and say to them, so says Adonai Yahweh, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me by covering up their trespass against me. So, you know, I don't know if there's a chapter that is more detailed and shocking and over and over again saying how much Israel defiled Yahweh, got into idolatry, and wouldn't follow his way, was rebellious against him, than Ezekiel 20. And you really see Yahweh's frustration where you can understand it because of everything he did for them again and what they did. And they blaspheme, he says it's blaspheming what they did by covering up their trespass against me. In verse 28, when I had brought them into the land for which I lifted up my hand, right, giving an oath, like we said before, to give to them, then they saw every high hill and every leafy tree, and they offered their sacrifices there. And they have their provoking offering there. They also made their soothing aroma there and poured out their drink offerings. What is he talking about? He's talking about the groves that they use for their idolatrous practices. So if we go to 2 Kings 17, and this is when Israel literally is being kicked off the land because of this. 2 Kings 17 and verse 9, we'll see exactly what he's talking about. 2 Kings 17, starting in verse 9. And the sons of Israel secretly did the things which were not right against Yahweh their Elohim. And they built high places for themselves in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. And they set up themselves pillars in Asherahs on every high hill and under every green tree, what we were just reading about. And they burned incense there in all the high places like the nations that Yahweh had removed from their face, and did evil things to provoke Yahweh. And they served the idols of which Yahweh had said to them, you shall not do this thing. And Yahweh testified against Israel and against Judah by the hand of all his prophets and every seer, saying, turn back from your evil ways and keep my commandments, my statutes according to all the Torah that I commanded your fathers and that I sent you by the hand of my servants, the prophets. And they did not listen, and they hardened their necks like the necks of their fathers, who did not remain faithful to Yahweh their Elohim. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he cut with their fathers, and his testimonies that he testified against them, and went after the vain thing and became vain, and after the nations that were around them, of whom Yahweh have commanded them not to do like them. And they forsook all the commandments of Yahweh their Elohim, and made for themselves cast images, two calves, and made an Asherah, and bowed to all the hosts of the heavens, and served Baal, and caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire and divine divination, and used incantations, and sold themselves to do the evil of Yahweh, to do the evil in the eyes of Yahweh, to provoke him. So, wow. And today you have New Age, all kinds of New Age stuff. You have all kinds of astrology, people following all this stuff, and seances, and going to, what do you call those people? Not witches, but like the people that read palms, and all the fortune tellers, and all this stuff that's going on. And Israel was doing this and worse. They were doing it and worse back then. And like I said, when Yahweh had appeared to them and showed himself to them. And it's shocking, but that's just the way it was. Verse 29 of Ezekiel 20. Then I said to them, what is the high place to which you go there? And its name is called Bama to this day, and that's what Bama means. It's a high place where false worship takes place. Anybody that's come with us to Israel on pilgrimages before, we've seen them there, like up near Tel Dan. That's one of the famous ones, and that's where actually one of these calves, like we were reading, was, and an altar that they built there, and the Bama. Verse 30, for this reason, say to the house of Israel, so says Adonai Yahweh, are you being defiled in the way of your fathers? And do you go whoring after their filthy idols? For when you lift up your gifts, when you pass your sons through the fire, you defile yourself with all your idols, even to this day. And I will not be inquired of by you, O house of Israel. As I live, declares Adonai Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. And what comes up on your spirit shall surely not occur, that you say, we will be like the nations, we will be like the heathen, like the families of the lands to serve wood and stone. And I'll read our note here. It says, the Israelites had a real living relationship with Yahweh, the sovereign creator, and they were willing to disregard this relationship for false deities made of wood and stone, simply to be like the nations around them. This is similar today. Many will choose false man-made religion over repentance and a true relationship with Yahweh. And, you know, it's I think a lot of times, sad to say, even sometimes with believers, it's the same thing. And, you know, I've been preaching a lot about the wilderness. I just sent out today lesson 27. It's a great lesson that really explains the mindset of the wilderness. And it's a mindset that every believer should have, you know, whether you physically are in a physical wilderness or not. But this is what it was about. Israel wanted to be like the nations around them. They didn't want to. And that's why I say, are you affecting them or are they affecting you? You know, it's one or the other. And unfortunately, many times they're affecting us. And I look at the Amish experiment, and Yahweh willing, with the new school that we're going to be doing, you know, next Passover time, I'm going to put a whole course together on that, on the Amish experience, because the time is getting short, and the Bible says in the end time, redeem the time, for the days are evil, and we're running out of time to redeem, you know, because Yahweh does have a plan, and it is timed, and he does have, you know, 6 1,000 year millennials until his seventh millennial comes, and we're coming close to that time, and I don't believe that we have embraced this as much as we should. And like I said, it's everything is going in full circle. And here it was, Israel wanted to be like the nations. And so many brethren today, whether it's Facebook, social media, all the things, they want, too many people want to be like the world, where we need to be coming out of the world. That's what we should be doing, not to be part of them. So, wow. And it's amazing when you think about it in the year 2023, with all this technology and all this other stuff, and you look at the Amish, and they're still riding horse and buggy. You know, they still don't have electricity. They still don't use cars. And it's like, wow, you know, this was the Philadelphia congregation, you know, back in the 1600s. And here it is today, 400 years later, they're still living the same way. They embraced it and they didn't give that up. So now we're going to be changing tune here. Right now, Yahweh very, very in-depthly went into everything that Israel did wrong and why they were rejected. But now we're going to turn and we're going to show the end time Israelites that Yahweh is going to be taking into the wilderness. So in prophecy, this happens many, many times, where the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, where there'll be a situation that is happening in historical context, and then Yahweh will put an insert of prophecy in there. And this is what's happening right now, is we will clearly see that this is not speaking about ancient Israel, because they were never taken to a wilderness a second time in all the things that it says here. So now he says, as I live, says Adonai Yahweh, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out, I will reign over you. So this is Yahweh's promise, that even though it's going to be thousands of years later, that Yahweh is going to have his word come to pass, and he is going to have the end time Israel, the descendants of the Israel, be able to make up where ancient Israel didn't. And that's the point today. Are you in your life, are you accomplishing what Israel couldn't hear? When I'm reading all these things of Yahweh saying, you know, how angry he was and how many times he warned Israel, you know, put your name in every time it says Israel, every time Yahweh says, I did this with Israel, put your own name in there and say, have you been faithful? Have you been doing it? Because now we've come full circle. Now we've come in the circular pattern. And what Israel failed here in the beginning of the chapter, will you accomplish what they failed? As I live, says Adonai Yahweh, surely with a mighty hand and with fury poured out, with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out, I will reign over you. And I will bring you, and I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered among them with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out. So we see, our footnote. Once again, Yahweh foretells his regathering of Israel from the lands they were scattered, showing this is all 12 tribes. Here, however, he states he will do it with fury. So we see this in Jeremiah 16, verse 11. Jeremiah 16 and verse 11. He says, then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says Yahweh, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have not, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my Torah, and you have done more evil than your fathers. For behold, you each one walk after the stubbornness of his evil heart without listening to me. And I will cast you out of this land into a land that you do not know, you nor your fathers. And there you shall serve other Elohim day and night, where I will not grant you favor. So behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that it will no more be said, as Yahweh lives who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but rather as Yahweh lives who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands there where he banished them to. And I will bring them again into their lands that I gave their fathers. Right? This is the second regathering. Behold, I will send for many fishers, says Yahweh, and they will fish for them. And I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt for them from every mountain and every hill and the clefts of the rock. And that's the believers, right? That's when Yeshua is giving the commission. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face. Their iniquity is not hidden from my eyes. And first I will repay double their iniquity and their sin, because they defiled my land with their bodies and their hateful things. Yea, their hateful idols have filled my inheritance. So first they're going to get punished. But then, in the end time, Yahweh, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. The nation shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited only lies, vanity. There is no profit in them, right? These are believers coming out of paganism, whether it's paganism of Christianity, Judaism, or whatever, and coming to the truth. Can a man make Elohim for himself? But they are not Elohim. Therefore, I will make them know this time. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they will know my name is Yahweh. That's what he says. He will restore his name in the end time to his people. And praise Yahweh that he called us out of this. You know, he called us out of the paganism of that. So, that's what he says, you know. That he will bring them out from the lands where they're scattered with a mighty hand and with fury poured out. In verse 35 of Ezekiel 20, and I will bring them into the wilderness of the people, and I will be judging with you there face to face, right? So this is the second Exodus. That's after, you know, the second Passover that we went over in Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. Maybe I'll just go there quickly. Ezekiel 9, I'll read verse 3 through 6. Just like we said, there will be a second Passover again. And the glory of the Elohim of Israel had gone up on the cherub where it was to the threshold of a house. And he called to the man clothed in linen with the inkhorn of a scribe at his loins. And Yahweh said to him, pass through the midst of the city in the midst of Jerusalem and imprint a mark on the foreheads of the man who are groaning and mourning over all the abominations that are done in its midst. And he said to those in my hearing, pass over in the city after him and strike. Do not let your eyes spare and do not have pity. Slay the aged, the young, the virgin, the children, the women to destruction. But to every man who has the mark on him, do not come near. That's the mark of Yahweh, not the mark of the beast. And begin from my sanctuary. And they began with the aged men who were before the house. So this is, like we said, there's a second Passover that's coming, and then the second Exodus, where Yahweh will be taking his people, not out of Egypt, but out of spiritual Babylon, which is all over the world. He's taking them out of the system of spiritual Babylon, some out of the physical land of Babylon. He's already taken us out of there. But he's going to be taking his people to the wilderness. So he says, I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and I will be judging with you there face to face. And our footnote says, in the end time, Yahweh will redeem Israel first by revealing their identity to them, and then taking them out of the nations again to the wilderness where their forefathers failed to teach them. He will teach them face to face. Wow. So he will be giving us his words that are like water to us of life. Let's go to the book of Hosea, Hosea 2 and verse 14. Hosea 2 and verse 14. It says, therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her to the wilderness and speak to her heart, right? Who's he talking about? He's talking about his remnant. Verse 16. And at that day, says Yahweh, you shall call me my husband, and you shall no more call me my Baal, right? Which is Lord. Lord is master, or Baal. For I will take away the names of the Baals out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day I will cut a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the birds of the heaven, and with the creepers of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down securely. And I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in judgment and in mercy and in compassion. I will even betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know Yahweh. Wow. So this is talking about in the end time, right? And we know about being the bride of Messiah and all the things that come. So this is definitely talking about the remnant in the end time, who are Israel, Israelites, right? We know that, whether it's physical Israelites or some are grafted into the tree, but they are Israelites. So he says, he will be bring you into the wilderness of the people, and he will be judging with you there face to face, right? Wow. So he is literally going to be speaking, and this has never happened. This is definitely end time. In verse 36, he says, just as I was judging your fathers in the wilderness out of the land of Egypt. So I will be judging you, declares Adonai Yahweh. So the Aramaic literally says, in the wilderness out of the land of Egypt, not of the land of Egypt. So he says, as I was judging your fathers in the wilderness out of the land of Egypt, so I will be judging you, declares Adonai Yahweh. So again, this is an end time scripture. Deuteronomy 8. Let's see how he was judging the Israelites back at that time. Because he says he will be judging us the same way. So we have to conquer what they failed at. And that's why in Corinthians 10 and all the other scriptures talk about, we need to learn these lessons of the Israelites. And the biggest lesson was staying separate from the world, not being like the nations around us. And it's hard because we're a spiritual nation today. We're not a physical nation. Israel, our brother Judah, is a physical nation, right? Yahweh has restored them back to the land, and they have a nation. They have a government there. They have a parliament. They have everything. But we are a spiritual nation. We're a spiritual nation, and we don't have a land. We don't have a government. We don't have. We're just ambassadors spread all over the earth. But Yahweh is doing this. So Deuteronomy 8 says, you shall be watchful to do every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may live and may multiply and may go in and possess the land which your fathers said, which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim has caused you to go these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, to try you, to know that which is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. And that's why he takes us to the wilderness, right? He has humbled you and caused you to hunger and caused you to eat the manna, which you did not know, and your fathers had not known, in order to cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. And you have known with your heart that as a man disciplines his son, Yahweh your Elohim disciplines you. And you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear him. And Yahweh your Elohim brings you into a good land, a land of streams, of waters, of fountains, of depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Wow, all the harvest fruits, right? So that's the land that Yahweh picked, a good land to the people. And that's what he's doing. He's giving everything to them, but he said he's also judging us the way he was judging Israel back there. So back to verse 36. Just as I was judging your fathers in the wilderness out of the land of Egypt, so I will be judging you, declares Adonai Yahweh. Verse 37, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. What is he talking about? I will cause you to pass under the rod, because that's what the shepherd used to do. The shepherd, every night, he would stand in the gate of the sheep pen, and as the sheep would come in, each one would pass under his rod, and he would count them, and he would check them. He would make sure they don't have any ticks or, you know, anything on them. But he would cause them to pass under the rod, and that showed possession, as he's counting each one and showing possession to them. Leviticus 27 and verse 32. Leviticus 27 and verse 32. It says, and if a man really redeems any of his tithes, he shall add a fifth to it. And then verse 32. And all the tithe of the herd and of the flock, all that passes under the rod, a tenth shall be holy to Yahweh, right? Because it's his. You don't tithe on something that's not yours. And that's why we say you tithe on increase. You don't tithe on gross money, especially if you own a business. Because you could own a business, and in your business, you could be taking in $500,000. But the only thing you get out of that might be $20,000, because you have to pay for your supplies, and you have to pay your help, and you have to pay your car, and you have to pay whatever. So you pay on increase, and that's what he says here. And all the tithe of the herd and of the flock, all that passes under the rod, a tenth shall be holy to Yahweh. Because once it passes under the rod, it shows possession. And I'll read our note here. It says, a shepherd would literally count each of his sheep by having them pass under the rod. As true believers are called the sheep of Yeshua, Messiah's pasture, John 10, they are literally the tithe from this world to be part of the family of Yahweh. So Yahweh's called us out of this world's system, not out of the world itself. We're not up to go up to Mars or Venus or Uranus or any of the other places up there. But we are to be on the earth, but not part of this earth's system. Okay, let's go back here. Ezekiel 5 and verse 8. Ezekiel 5 and verse 8. Therefore, so says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I, even I, am against you, and will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. So, I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge from among you the rebels and the transgressors against me. And I will bring them out of the land where they reside, and they shall not enter the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahweh. So Yahweh says he will purge the rebels from them. And I'll read our study note here. It says, no one in the end time who has a rebellious Laodicean attitude and refuses to follow the leadership and judicial order that Yahweh has ordained will be accounted to be chosen as a vessel of Elohim, nor will they enter the promised land of Israel. And we see that if we go to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. And this is important because that's one of the things that kept Israel in their obstinate, stubborn way, was they wouldn't follow judicial order. They wanted to just go their own way. And it's amazing, like I said, when you think about it, because they were slaves. And while they were slaves, they were had to follow and being beaten. And you would think, with a slave mentality, that they would have had that. But it wasn't. It just is very hard to understand. But that's the way it was. Numbers 14, 1 through 3. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept during that night. And the sons of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the congregation said to them, oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt or in this wilderness. Oh, that we had died. And why is Yahweh bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our infants have become a prey. Is it not good for us to return to Egypt? Wow. So here it is. They were looking back. They wanted to go back where they came. Verse 11. And Yahweh said to Moses, until when will this people despise me? Until when will they continue not to believe in me for all the signs I have done in their midst? Drop down to verse 20. And Yahweh said, I have forgiven according to your word, but as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh. For all the men who are seeing my glory and my miracles, which I've done in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tried me these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, they shall not see the land which I have sworn to their fathers. Yea, not one of those who provoked me shall see it. And then we go into verse 30. He says, you shall certainly not come into the land which I have lifted up my hand to cause you to live in it, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Yehoshua, the son of Nun. And interesting enough, Caleb was from Judah, and Yehoshua was an Ephraimite, showing the two houses of Israel represented there, but unfortunately only by 2 people. So, wow. So Yahweh says he will purge out the rebels and the transgressors, and they will not go into the land of Israel. Romans 9 and verse 27, because in the end you say, how many people then are going to be left? How many people are left? Romans 9 and verse 22, rather. Romans 9, verse 22 says, but if Elohim, desiring to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured in much long-suffering vessels of wrath, having been fitted out for destruction, but he poured out his mercy on the vessels of favor, which before he prepared for the glory of Elohim, whom he also called not only us of Jews, but also of the nations, as also he says in Hosea, I will call those not my people, and those not beloved, beloved. And it shall be in the place where was said to them, you are not my people. There they will be called sons of the living Elohim. But Isaiah cries on behalf of Israel, if the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, right? In the millions upon millions, only a remnant will be saved. Wow. For he is bringing the matter to an end, and having been cut short in righteousness, because Yahweh will do a thing cut short on the earth. And as Isaiah said before, if Yahweh of hosts had not shown favor to us with a remnant, we would have become as Sodom and we would have become as Gomorrah. Wow, and we know how many survived there, not many. So we don't want to be one of those rebels. We don't want to be purged from the land. Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel, verse 39 now. And you all house of Israel, so says Adonai Yahweh, every man go serve his idols, even hereafter, if you will not listen to me. But you will not still profane my holy name with your gifts and with your idols. So Yahweh says, okay, enough's enough. You know, you have free will, you can do that, you want to go do that, but don't think that I'm blessing you. Don't think that I'm with you, because I'm not. Psalm 50 and verse 16. Psalm 50 and verse 16. Psalm 50 and verse 16. He says, but to the wicked, Elohim says, what is it to me? What is it to you to proclaim my statutes and to take up my covenant with your mouth? And you hate discipline and toss my words behind you. So a lot of these rebels, you know, they don't want to follow judicial order, but they say they're following Yahweh. They say they never follow a man. They say they're doing it on his own. And he's saying, if you're not going to follow judicial order, why even bother to try to say you're following my statutes or following my commandments? Because in the kingdom, there's not you. In the kingdom, it's not like the Old West where you're going to ride out with a flag and put down, you know, your stake. And then you're going to build your little house and put a fence around it and live. No, it doesn't work that way. You better learn to live in community now and to live with other brethren now and submit yourself, or you won't be there. It's that simple, like it says there, that he is going to get the rebels. So he says, who are you to proclaim my statutes and take up my covenant? And you hate discipline and toss my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you were pleased with him, and with adulterers is your part. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You speak against your brother. You give fault to the sons of your mother. You have done these things and I have kept silent, right? Yahweh doesn't give him immediate judgment. He gives us time to repent. You thought that surely I would be like you, but I will rebuke you and set in order before your eyes. Now think of this, you who forget Eloah, lest I tear and there not be any to deliver. Whoever sacrifices thanks glorifies me, and whoever determines his course of life, I will show him Yeshua Elohim. So this is what Yahweh wants. This is what he wants. Not people separated to themselves. He who separates himself seeks his own desire, Proverbs 18:1. But people that are out seeking the will of Yahweh. Psalm 81 and verse 10. Psalm 81 and verse 10. He says, I am Yahweh your Elohim who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to my voice and Israel did not consent to me. So I gave them up to the stubbornness of their own hearts. They walked in their own counsels. So that's what it comes down to. And that's not a blessing. That's actually a curse. So back now to Ezekiel 20 verse 40. He says, for in my holy mountain, in the mountain height of Israel, declares Adonai Yahweh, all the house of Israel shall serve me there, all of them in the land. There I will accept them, and there I will seek your heave offerings and the first fruits of your offerings with all your holy things. So Yahweh says that he will be with them in that day, and they will serve him there. Isaiah 56 and verse 7. Isaiah 56 and verse 7. He says, even them I will bring to my holy mount and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. So this is what Yahweh is saying. You know, For in his holy mountain, in the mountain height of Israel, Mount Zion, declares Adonai Yahweh, all the house of Israel will serve me there, all of them in the land, there I will accept them, and I will seek your heave offering, your first fruits, your offering. This is definitely end time, there's no doubt about it. And actually, if we go to Revelation 14, Revelation 14 and verse 1, and I saw and behold the Lamb, Yeshua, standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000, with the name of his Father having been written on their foreheads. Right? What did we just read a little while ago in Ezekiel 9? They were marked on their foreheads, right? So here it is again. They have the name of the Father having been written in their foreheads. And I heard a sound out of heaven as a sound of many waters and a sound of great thunder. And I also heard the sound of harpers harping on their harps. And they sing as a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one was able to learn the song except 144,000, those having been redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who had not become defiled, for they are pure. These are the ones following the Lamb wherever they go, right? They're not out there on their own. They're following the Lamb wherever he goes, following judicial order, following the leadership that Yeshua set up here on the earth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to Yahweh and the Lamb. And no decoy was found in their mouth, for they are unmarked before the throne of Yahweh, right? They're not part of Satan's system. They didn't take the mark of the beast. They're totally outside of that system. So this is in the kingdom setting, Isaiah 66 and verse 20. He says, and they shall bring all your brothers out of all nations in offering to Yahweh on horses, on chariots, on litters, on mules, on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says Yahweh. As the sons of Israel bring the offering in a clean vessel to the house of Yahweh. So the people are actually an offering to Yahweh. As the people are coming back, this is the great regathering, right? They'll be coming from all nations and coming back there. Yahweh says this is an offering to him. And like we said, although the number of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. So it's like a tithe. It's like out of all those Israelites that were there, a remnant or a tithe is coming back to Yahweh of them. So I'll read that one more time. Verse 40, for in my holy mountain, in the mountain height of Israel, declares Adonai Yahweh, all the house of Israel shall serve me there, all of them in the land. There I will accept them, and there I will seek your heave offering and the first fruits of your offering with all your holy things. Verse 41, and I will accept you with a soothing aroma when I bring you from the people and gather you from the lands where you have been scattered in them, and I will be sanctified among you in the eyes of the nations. So again, this is end time. This has never happened before. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, this is end time. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And he says it'll be like a soothing aroma. Soothing fragrance to him when this happens. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Start verse 1. Then become imitators of Elohim as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for an odor of a sweet smell. So that's what it is when we're obedient. Then our alms, it's like our obedience is a sacrifice to him. Our obedience is like a sweet smell to Yahweh. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 22, because he says also, let me go first to Leviticus 1 before we get into Ezekiel. Leviticus 1, and I'll read verse 9, 13, and 17. Because remember, the priests, they were doing sacrifices and fragrance with incense. Leviticus 1 in verse 9 says, and he shall wash its inward parts and its legs with water, and the priest shall burn his incense, the whole of it, on the altar for a burnt offering, a fire offering of soothing fragrance to Yahweh. So again, this is the shadow that's showing it. You know, that they were doing this burning incense and having the fragrance offering to show the spiritual side, that our alms, or our good works, our love for each other is that offering. Verse 13. And he shall wash the inward parts and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring near all of it, and to burn it as incense on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a fire offering of soothing fragrance to Yahweh. In verse 17. And he shall cleave it with its wings, not dividing it. And the priest shall burn it as incense on the altar, on the wood which is on the fire, a burnt offering. It is a fire offering of soothing fragrance to Yahweh. So that's what he says. I will accept you with a soothing aroma when I bring you from the people and gather you from the lands where you have been scattered in them. And I will be sanctified among you in the eyes of the nations. Ezekiel 36 and verse 22. Ezekiel 36 and verse 22. He says, therefore say to the house of Israel, so says Adonai Yahweh, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but only for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations there where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, declares Adonai Yahweh, when I am sanctified in you in their eyes. And I will take you from the nations and gather you out of all the lands and bring you into your land, the land of Israel. And I will sprinkle pure waters on you, baptism, and you shall be purified. And I will cleanse you from your defilement and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart, the new covenant, and I will put a new spirit within you, right? Baptism, and the laying on of hands. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, new covenant. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be a people to me, and I will be Elohim to you. So no doubt this is the end time. So we see this. We see that, like I said, Yahweh is rebuking Israel in the whole first half of it. It's a long chapter, 49 verses. And Yahweh is rebuking them. And then, like I said, and we get into verse 33, and it changes to the end time, to spiritual Israel. Yahweh is going to take his people through the wilderness again. And then he's talking about here, like he's saying, you know, that his people, as they come through the wilderness and they succeed, they will be a soothing aroma to him. And he is going to be gathering them out of their lands, the second regathering, and bringing them back to the land of Israel. So I think I'm going to stop there at verse 41, because we are just about out of time. We got too much. There's no way I'll finish this today. And we will continue, because next week I want to get into a little more, give people a chance to study the lesson I just gave out on the wilderness. And we'll talk more about the wilderness next week. And then we will also finish the rest of Ezekiel chapter 20. So praise Yahweh. This is some awesome stuff, because we're living it. We're actually living this. We're living in this time. We are the people. So this is the things we need to embrace. And like I said, the wilderness is a mentality we have to embrace, not just a place. But praise Yahweh for that. I pray that you have a blessed Sabbath. And until next week, Shabbat Shalom.